Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Starter Shed podcast. I'm joined by Kerry Warbis. Kerry, how you doing?
I'm good, lovely. Yeah, how are you?
I'm all right. Looking forward to talking about the Archers.
Yeah, it's been a week of blood and meat.
It has. Yeah, nuts old few days.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds weird.
Nuts old hazelnuts.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be a bit of a relief just to touch on things in Ambridge.
The Archers seems quite normal.
All of a sudden.
Compared to some of the stuff that's been going on this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. All right, well, here's what I suggest.
Yeah.
Let's take a little break and then we'll talk about the real world, as Fallon and Harrison referred to it.
Yeah, and blood pits.
It was a friend's birthday. They just moved into a new apartment. They told me to go and have a look at how they decorated the dining room. There was a table full of food everyone had brought. I looked around the room. I blacked out. Next thing I know, everyone's yelling at me. I'd eaten everything.
Every year, thousands of people's lives are torn apart by the effects of hungry wallpaper.
My partner was returning from a long business trip. I'd had an interior designer completely rework our living room as a surprise. He got home before me and... well...
what happened? Take your time.
He'd eaten the brand new sofa.
If you've been affected by hungry wallpaper, whether at home or out and about, maybe you were in MFI looking at wallpaper samples.
Freeze!
And the next thing you know, you're being handcuffed behind the counter in Wimpy with 10 burgers in your mouth. Please, don't hesitate to contact us in confidence at hello@thecidershed.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Last week was a week of returns, Kerry. So was this week. Freddie, Vince.
Yeah, Jolene as well. She popped up all of a sudden.
She'd magically forgotten that the last time she dealt with Vince was when he was trying to wring Ben's neck in the bull.
Yeah. It's funny that, isn't it? That Vince, Elizabeth's fine with him still. I cannot forgive her for going back with him, by the way. Still haven't forgotten that. I wish Freddie wasn't going to work for him, and I'm still hoping he doesn't, even though he's putting on a really brave, excited, giddy face about working for him. But that's because he's desperate.
Jolene said he looked really excited in the car. I was like, how excited can you look in the passenger seat of a car? What's he doing?
It was the hobnobs and custard creams.
He hadn't got his hands on the hobnobs at that point.
Oh, I do not. Custard creams are shit anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, so, I mean, when Vince first offered him a position at the abattoir, he went, thanks, Vince, but come on.
Yeah.
And now...
correct response.
How the mighty have fallen. Because he went off to Well, the last place he seems to have been of note was Lisbon, wasn't it? That's where he brought the presents back from, the handmade leather gifts, the authentic gifts that weren't.
Yeah, of course, my brain, when he said handmade leather company, I thought that the company was made of leather. Well, anyway, it was from China, wasn't it? The wallet and the sandals, size 5. So Elizabeth must be quite little.
That was totally what they're suggesting, isn't it? She's petite and gorgeous. Yes. I knew something was up because Vince said, did you try the Jinju? A lot of people I know call it ginger or ginginia even. So it's a cherry
Maybe
liqueur.
Maybe Chloe sing that.
And Freddie was like, no, I think that must have been an 80s thing. The moment you leave your door in Lisbon, someone is trying to pour a shot of this drink down your mouth. If you go anywhere in any of the downtown areas, there are street bars set up. You pass little liquor shops and they're serving it 50 cents a shot or one cent.
I like the
sound
of this.
And it's just like a sweet, I might have some in the cabinet.
I love cherry anything. I like cherry brandy.
It's impossible that you would be in Lisbon and not know of the existence of that drink. So it suggests to me like he wasn't going out at all. So I could tell at that point that something was off.
So where did he get the wallet and the sandals from? Amazon?
I don't know, bloody airport, didn't he?
There was also another bit where Vince sussed him, where he was like, yeah, I've just done a 5K run. And, I got into that when I was in Ibiza. I thought, not many people in Ibiza concentrate on running.
On the spot, maybe.
He said, oh, you haven't got much of a sweat on there, have you, Freddie? And immediately crumpled and went, I was lying in the grass listening to music.
Yeah, there was that moment where he said, I don't know why I said that. That was the doors or the floodgates opening of him realizing like he's lying about all of this. Yeah.
Yeah. I do love him though, Freddie. I love him. I love him as a character. He's a funny, trying hard, idiot sort of lovely person. What do you think of him?
Oh, I really like him as a character. Yeah. I mean, he's very entitled.
I just want a job.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one. Pring. It's appeared in front of me.
Yeah, that bit where he said to Vince, but didn't you already fill that position of the assistant manager? And I thought he was going to go, yeah, Caden got sawn in half.
I'm not happy about Vince. He's going to be a trainee manager. And Vince used the term, we'll train them to do what, to be how we want them to be or something. It was like a not very positive term. And I don't trust Vince.
Vince was over in the Philippines bringing back loads of butchers not that long ago, wasn't he?
Of course, of course. It's all well dodgy. I don't think Freddie should work for him. And Freddie's putting on all this bravado about having seen beasts being stunned and have their throats cut and all of this. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, we need to know where meat comes from. And I mean, we do. Like, we are detached from that, obviously, when we eat our meat. We get it from the supermarket or even a butcher. It's all very, sanitised, isn't it? And detached.
Not here, isn't.
Oh, well, you know, that's how it should be, really. I did think, like, the episode title was something like a big day for Freddie. And I was like, oh, he gets to butcher beasts next to Vince instead of butchering beets next to nobody.
Beautiful.
I mean, I was quite proud of that, and I'm blowing my own bloody trumpet there. But it just came out of nowhere. Bloody genius.
Day two, they'll be like, all right, Freddie, you need to stun this cow. And he's like, I'll stun it with my command of Portuguese.
I'll stun it with my raspberry-coloured cords.
There was that moment as well where Vince said to him, all right, but it's only day one. I thought he was going to say, tomorrow you've got to fight a camel while we all watch.
You've got to dive into the blood pit, swim a few lengths, and then f***ing stuff loads of custard creams in your mouth. I don't know. I think it's all bravado and he's desperate. And in a few days/weeks, he'll be sort of sobbing and eating Linda McCartney's sausages and saying, Mummy, I don't like it. I hope he gets away from that business. I don't want him anywhere near Vince.
Right. You're very protective and very anti-Vince all of a sudden. Is this only post-Ben attack?
Vince has displayed some very aggressive, hot-headed, horrendous behaviours. And I can't remember any of them, but I know that they happened. And they were not appealing. He treated Elizabeth poorly, didn't he?
When did he treat Elizabeth poorly?
Oh, Matthew, don't ask me for specifics. But there was a point at which we were all thinking, don't have him back, don't have him back.
Well, that was in the aftermath of the whole Ben situation, wasn't it? And I
yes.
think she was kind of more of the mind of like, look, just go. You need to go.
Mm.
But she did take him back quite quickly. It was all why? Off mic. We didn't hear it, did we?
I know. Why,
it was more
why?
David and Ruth over the kitchen table going, oh, like, is she talking to him again? So, and meantime, Ben was having his breakdown. Do you know, I wrote something in my notes.
Mm.
Beth and Freddie. He goes to work at the slaughterhouse. Vince is back.
No, no, maybe no. This gets worse. Back. This gets worse. I don't like her. She's absolutely awful. Please, no. We've got Pip sullying Stella. We can't have Beth sullying Freddie. This is very depressing.
Sorry, I just wrote it down. I'm quite excited by the fact that they're all ninjas, though, at yeah. the abattoir.
Yeah. Wow, wow. There's like 1 minute there's a cow in front of you, next minute it's chops. Oh, you don't have chops from a cow, do you? What is it? Steaks. Ah, which reminds me of David with his burgers flying off, which he was barbecuing next to a bull.
Hector, he wasn't digging it, was he?
I mean, how insensitive can you be? It's almost as if he was slicing bits off the rump of Hector and whacking them on the barbecue.
No wonder he didn't want to go home.
Please, I want Freddie to find, because he applied for a debt collector role, didn't he? And that got rejected.
Elizabeth said, well, you wouldn't want to do that, frightening people into paying their debts. Like, he was literally a drug dealer, Elizabeth.
Also applied to be a lollipop person.
Yep. A little bit questionable, that, isn't it?
But he would have to go to Felpersham and back for an hour's work.
Somebody did write on our Facebook, like, Freddie Love, I don't think they let ex-drug dealers become lollipop people.
True. Although, we've spoken about this already this week, but some people won't have heard. We did think that that could be quite a good way to deal drugs to small children.
Yeah, didn't you think he'd have the prices written on his hand?
Yeah, when you hold up the hand, palm, to the cars, on there is like, you know, 10 or a bag.
Yeah, I think I bought my first 8th off the lollipop lady.
So he's not going to become a lollipop person.
Perhaps, I mean, there was another job that was desperate for him to come for a second interview. That was a That's getting bleeped out.
No, it should stay.
Any more on Freddie? Anything else you've got to say about
Well, him? I bloody love Freddie, and I love bloody Freddie. That's all I've got to say. We can now move on.
All right. How much do you think he spent on his credit card?
Oh, yeah, because he was in youth hostels and campsites for, was it 2 months?
So he said.
He's been away for 2 months.
I think so.
I should have missed him more. I feel like it was only a couple of weeks.
He was saying, like, how come it doesn't work out for me? Johnny has the holiday of a lifetime.
Mm.
Johnny's probably chained to the wall in a basement in Bolivia by now.
So, yeah, what would he have racked? And how is he going to pay that credit card bill? What are his, well, from the abattoir earnings?
Blood money.
Ooh.
He said he didn't get any DJ gigs because he kept going there and like waving his tapes at them. I reckon there'd been a mix-up and accidentally given them that 80s compilation that Vince had given them. And they were like, what's this guy giving us Careless Whisper for?
When he said, oh God, you know, I love DJ. I love the playing of the tracks, but oh, the social media side of it is so exhausting. He can't ask to do anything, can he, really?
Touching moment where he said he couldn't face going back to Grey Gables, though, because of the whole, because he basically pulled Gavin and Blake and Linda out of the fire, didn't he?
I know.
No, but Gavin wasn't there, was he? Because we all thought it was Gavin. And that was the false alarm. That's when we discovered Blake and the horses.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to go crawling back to the trustees because that prog rock cock wouldn't approve him. Whatever his name was, I forgot. Big Wizard 2 fan.
Yeah, because Elizabeth was suggesting, there's an open position at Grey Gables. And how you can always have a job at Lil Oxley. He's like, off. I'm not going to either of those two places again.
Do you think when he comes home from the abattoir, Lizzie will say, how was your day? And he'll be like, awful, just awful. Thanks.
I kidney be bothered to do anything.
Very good. Any more? I got the chop. think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll do.
Let's do Fallon's back.
Fallon, yeah.
Apparently, Harrison has trouble sleeping at night when Fallon's wriggling next to him. I know the feeling.
Do you?
No, I don't. Unfortunately.
Oh. Yeah, there was a lot of to and fro, like, I don't want the job, I do want the job. Harrison doesn't want her to go for the job, does want her to go for the job. And then finally they align at the end. I've decided to take the job. It's the right thing to do. You think anytime someone says it's the right thing to do and then the music starts means it's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah. Cut to Fallon living on the streets in 2 weeks' time.
I reckon Emma, she might go for it, Fallon, but I bet you Tom and Natasha will go, Emma, you've been successful because you're cheaper. Yeah.
And then she said, I don't think I could bear to sit there and watch them wallpaper over the place. I was like, well, if everything goes to plan, as soon as you see the wallpaper, you're going to get hungry and forget people's sad.
I loved that line where George went, oh, that makes sense. Why Natasha was showing Tom samples of wallpaper and going, which one of these makes you feel hungry? How does wallpaper make you feel hungry?
I don't know. Maybe it'll all be explained in an ad this week.
Oh, great. Lovely. Okay. Also, Matthew, please tell me why, in amongst all of this, I don't want to work for the Archers. Nothing's worse than working for the Archers. I'm going to branch out on my own. I just don't know how I'm going to do it. Why is no one at any point saying the EV charging station has a vacancy plot site thing for a cafe?
Don't think the times match, do they? Because we heard earlier in the week from Freddie had told Lizzie that they started work on the charging station, and Vince said, oh, they don't hang about. Now, I don't know if that's going to be ready in time. When's her lease up? In 2 months? Did we hear that? Or did I dream that?
I didn't hear that timeline mentioned about the EV charging station.
Well, I was thinking more in relation to the lease. I thought Alan's lease had 2 months left to run on it or something.
Yeah.
It's a very short space of time to let her know that. And I don't think the charging station would be up and running. I mean, hopefully they haven't got the same construction company that's building Grey Gables. Otherwise, the charging station's electric cars will have gone by then and we'll be driving cars with our brains.
Yeah, we'll just be sort of flying around using the power of our mind.
As I thought we'd all be doing by now when I was in school.
So annoying, isn't it? Fuck jetpacks.
Well, they did have a few of those, but people kept flying into buildings and killing themselves, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, there are jetpacks, but they're not.
Oh, God, I do wish jetpacks would come to Ambridge. Everyone's sort of flying around in the air.
Oh, I thought that'd be a new character, jetpacks.
EV charging station and jetpacks.
And also, I'm interested in this new character, Mini Fiddler.
Nina.
Oh, Nina. I thought it was Minnie.
No.
Mina.
Nina.
Okay.
Nina right. Fiddler.
Anyway.
The fiddler. Josh is hoping to be fiddled with, isn't he?
He is. Fallon said she had a relaxing break in Whitstable and swam in the sea every day. There's your Tory fucking lie for this week from the BBC. Because Fergal Sharkey, about 2 weeks ago, was on the beach at Whitstable saying it was completely polluted and disgusting. Mm-hmm. But you will find stories on the Beeb saying it's got some of the cleanest water in the UK. So which is true? And why have they chose Whitstable?
And that's where there's lovely oysters that have probably got a big fat turd in them now, haven't they?
Yeah.
You need a bit more than Tabasco to get those down. She did sound like she'd had a lovely time. It given her time to think. Who had she gone to Whitstable with?
Jolene. What no one's mentioned is both of them are glowing like Freddie Breck from some kind of weird... like pollution.
Yeah, they haven't got a tan so much as they're covered in shit.
Talking of shit, I liked in their reviews, their wonderful customer review forms where people were like, yeah, lovely cafe, hate all the shit outside the Archer's Farm shop though.
Yes, really untidy entrance over there opposite. Oh, I meant to ask you actually, Matthew.
Go.
With one being not very and 10 being very, how would you say you rate the general ambience of this podcast?
3.
Why is it not 10? Please tell me what the feedback is about how I can improve things.
Hang on, didn't you give me 1 to 5?
No, I said 10.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Okay, yeah, point taken though, Kerry. Doesn't really put the guest at ease when you start yelling at them for their own choices.
Why isn't it 10, Pip? You said 8. What are we supposed to do about that?
Yeah, I like the way she said ambience, and Emma went, the vibes.
Yeah, I mean, right, okay. Customer feedback is key. The fact that they've just realised this, hilarious. The fact that they're asking people to fill out paper things at the point that they're purchasing, even more hilarious. The fact that they then interrogate them like the Gestapo about why they've scored it that way. And when they realise that the customer's not that comfortable about doing it, they're like, right, instead of that, we'll interview them at the door.
Particularly if it starts raining and then you've got a backlog of people stood outside in the rain looking at the Archer shit outside the farm shop.
Yeah. Just sort of send them, like, ask for their email, say, can we send you a survey? If you fill it out, you'll be in the chance of winning some sort of prize. And it's probably going to be a cup of Earl Grey tea and a bit of carrot cake, because that's all that anybody ever has in this cafe. It was quite odd that, but they were feeling quite positive about, oh, well, look at this lovely feedback. And then Natasha and Tom crashed in.
Yeah. Can we have a word?
Natasha's line where she said something like, what did she say? Oh, it's nothing personal, but it's our building and we'd like it back.
Yeah. No, we don't want any animosity.
You can keep the furniture, mind.
You could tell that moment where she was like tensing up with anger, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
She was like, you're joking, right? When they offered her the position of manager. She went, what if I say no? And Tom's went, well, you can't.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to say, there's no need for that. Sorry, stealing that joke from Alan Partridge there.
You might not like me upcycle furniture, but that's a bit strong.
I really hope it fails. But what are you going to end up? Are we going to end up with a situation where Emma is running this place and Fallon is running the place at the EV charging station?
Mm.
And they're no longer friends, and there's tensions between Harrison and Ed.
Fighting over customers.
Yeah, Harrison torches the tea room, goes down for it.
Tom and Natasha are just totally detached from it all. Scraping the profits off.
If the scriptwriters are doing that, please make that happen, because then I can call the episode Harrison Burns Down the Tea Room.
Mm. Always thinking.
I'm a bit deflated by the fact that she's going to take them up on their offer.
Mm.
And as Harrison said, like, this is the real world.
You're brilliant. You can do anything. As long as I can keep working part-time and watching butterflies.
Yeah.
Do whatever you like.
I thought she was going to say, go back to work, copper.
Because he kind of said, oh, I'll go back to full time, or I'll just get, you know, part time hours pulling pints somewhere. She should have gone, all right then, good, you do that.
A policeman pouring pints, that's zero crack, isn't it, for the customers? While we're on the subject of the tea room, can you help me out with something?
I hope so.
Fallon made Victoria sponge, Jill made orange cake. What did Joy make? They kept saying name this cake and it was a bit weird.
Did they?
Yeah. I kept missing it. It was a very strange word. Everyone's going to email in and tell me now.
I've got a vague notion of it, but I did not make a note of it. Have you got any clue what it sounded like? It
began with an S. I keep on thinking it sounded like Saratosa or something like that.
Serotonin? I don't know. Sertraline?
I think one of the things that intimidated Pip with that customer review form is that I could hear like a slight tapping noise in the background. I think Emma was hitting a rolling pin into her palm. Let's have a little chat about our friends Pip and Stella.
Well, I did actually appreciate that David and Ruth had a bit of a session where they spoke to each other about, they were trying to fathom out between themselves why they felt so uncomfortable about it being Stella. I thought that was quite good, because David was like, do you think it is the age gap, or is it because she's a friend, or blah, 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 blah? And they kind of talked themselves around to thinking, well, actually, maybe it's okay.
Yeah, Ruth seems to be clinging to this thing about the fact that she was seeing another woman.
Mm.
She wasn't really seeing her, was she? They were just like sending each other messages.
But yeah, it was only 2 minutes ago you were texting this amazing woman.
Yeah, and that's great, isn't it? Like, as a friend, throw back in my face something that I told you.
I mean, I guess, like, if I'm being really generous, Ruth is trying to protect her daughter from someone who might be a little bit fickle about who she's involved with.
Yeah, it's possible. You didn't think that there was anything kind of a bit old school homophobic about it from the off? Do you think if it had been Lottie, she would have been totally cool?
They did sort of ask themselves that, didn't they? If it had been Lottie, would it have been okay? And they kind of went, yeah, it was maybe the age thing. I quite liked that they did try to work it out and then realised actually it's not so bad and spoke to Pip about it and said, look, I made a pig's ear of it. I realised that. Can we have a fresh start? And they've come round to inviting Stella. Well, David wanted it to be a steak dinner for his birthday. Pip felt it was a bit formal, so they're going to the Bull.
Yeah, I'm relieved at that for their sake, but it would be more fun to hear them around the dinner table.
Yeah, it would. But David, he kind of struck the death knell on, is it Nell or Noel? Death Knell? Nell. Anyway, he said, it'll be really nice. And again, as soon as someone says something like that, I think it's going to be the opposite, probably.
Plus, you don't want fucking Jill there, do you? Going, I'm ashamed of you, Pip.
Fallon is a professional cake baker and shouldn't have won the prize.
But she did win first for her jam, didn't you? Her jamming.
Jill's jam.
Ooh, Jill's jam.
So I thought something it might have like rubbed you up the wrong way was Fallon said, if they think I'm going to take their job, they can whistle. R.I.P. Roger Whittaker.
Oh, the thing about the ironic thing, Matthew, about all of the whistlers is that I whistle a lot.
Cider Shed, breaking news.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever confessed that to you.
Well, you have now.
I am almost a professional whistler.
That's a shocker. How come you've never done that while we've been toodling around on air?
No, but I honestly, it's a dreadful habit of mine. But I don't do it so loud that all the neighbourhood can hear it, and I don't do it for hours and hours every day.
Straw Crows are coming to play the events barn.
Yes, even though Steve Lamack has played them on his radio show and they're in high demand elsewhere, just because Josh knows...
It's Tig, yeah, Irish name. Quick, script writers, think of another Irish name for his brother. Oh, Paddy.
Now, another riddle me re for you to help me with is, on Twitter, I saw some people saying, ooh, did anyone notice that there's a double booking for the Harvest What's It? Are they talking about the piano teacher here?
Hang on, the events barn is the Harvest. We've just had the flower and produce show, so is there something else? Jim's piano teacher.
The double booking is that Jim's getting his piano teacher to come.
Is Jim that good on the piano?
Maybe the piano teacher is going to have to do like a mashup on stage with the Straw Crows.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Not sure.
Yeah, I'd like Jim up on stage with them.
Doing chopsticks. And then the Straw Crows, who I presume are quite folky.
We're led to believe that, aren't we?
Mm.
They're like some terrible levellers.
Ooh, they're from Brighton.
Oh, bloody hell. Give me a break. I liked the bit where Josh went, Stella.
Yeah.
And then he said, wow, cool.
Yeah, he was fine with it all.
Yeah, I did like, do you not think this is making Pip a more interesting character? I liked the bit where she said to Ruth, I'm not going to be made, you tried to make me feel bad for something that I should not feel bad about. And I thought that was quite powerful from her. I think that sat Ruth down a bit.
It was, but she also said, I'm a grown up or I'm a grown woman and I can. And I was like, you haven't displayed much of that really so far. Because you're like, doesn't really look after Rosie as much as she could or should, or I don't know. I don't like her, Matthew. I may come to like her. I think I come from a wrongly biased, I don't want to like anything she does perspective, which is bad of me. It's going to take a lot for me to warm to this character. Oh, I did like it when Ruth said to David said to Ruth, I don't care who Pip goes out with. I just want a quiet life. And then Ruth went, that's not true, though. You do care. And he went, yeah, you're right. It was like a 360-degree U-turn within about 30 seconds.
Mum, Dad, I'm dating Hector.
As long as I've got a quiet life, that's fine by me.
That's fine. Ruth, you okay with that?
I would be all right with it, but he's 10 years older than me.
Yeah. What do you have in common, Pip? Is he good with kids?
And half his arse has been chopped off for the burgers.
Okay, let's take a little break there, shall we?
Honest question, how fresh is your bridge? Because if it's not very fresh, no one is going to want to come across it. Fortunately for you, Schaefer Bass, the creator of Hitler Nappies, has the answer. Bridge Fresh Wipes. Bridge Fresh Wipes keep your bridge as fresh as a daisy up Lakey Hill. Bridge Fresh Wipes come in three exotic scents. Aldridge Am, Cordwell Cream Brulee, and Sweet Summer Silage. Bridge Fresh Wipes. Brought to you by Schaefer Bass.
The bridge may also be referred to as the perennium, the taint, or the road from Grimsby to Hull.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Kerry, can I say it's Friday with vigor again?
Yeah.
It's Friday, and we just decided to do a little insert because we recorded the bulk of the podcast on Thursday, only a little one, and just as we were wrapping it up,
I got bombed out for some reason. And
we knew that Pip and Stella and David and Ruth was going to be awkward in the bull. No multi-pack of crisps is going to get them out of that hole, is it?
Yeah, David's small talk was pretty poor, wasn't it?
Yes.
Have you a mother and a father? Have you any brothers and sisters?
Oh, I've got legs too. Anything else we've got in common?
Oh, look, we're in a pub.
Is it all going to be fine, as Ruth predicted?
Well, Stella approached her in the loo, which at first I thought was David having a piss, the sound effect, because Ruth wasn't looking her in the eye and she wanted to make sure everything's okay. And they did seem to come to some sort of civil agreement, including Stella saying that boundaries need to be put down. And I presume that's to do with stopping Ruth bursting into Pip's house unannounced with her little key. Yeah, it's the least you can do really, isn't it?
Yeah, I liked the bit where Pip said to them, just act normal.
Ruth can't do that, and nor can most of the archers, really.
I thought it was quite bang on where Pip said, you know, Mum probably feels like I've stolen you off of her. And maybe not stolen, you know, a sense, yeah, because stolen the relationship that she had with Stella.
Yeah.
She can't have that now, can she?
Not really.
And she said, like, what can we talk about if we can't? That was interesting as well, wasn't it? She said, if Pip had a new partner, Pip would be talking to me about the new partner and I'd be talking to you about Pip having the new partner. I was like, that would be awkward if they were still doing it and they didn't know. Some like Bermuda Triangle conversation.
Yeah. I reckon Ruth is a bit embarrassed and finding it awkward and weird that her, just imagining her best mate and her daughter at it. And I'm hoping she's not imagining it too much, but you know, they're sort of sitting in front of them as a couple and she knows Stella very well. It's going to be a strange sensation, isn't it? A bit of a weird piece of news and information.
Playing on that whole idea that Ruth was homophobic when she went, oh, so you thought you'd follow me to the ladies?
Oh,
thought she was.
God, yeah.
The other main storyline of the night, poor old Emma.
I know. She literally thought that she was being offered that managerial position by Natasha. You could hear her go, oh, there was excitement, wasn't there? And within 30 seconds, then Natasha was going, and here's your manager, Fallon. And it came tumbling down because Natasha hadn't seen her email come through, or had seen it and pretended she hadn't dealt with it.
I didn't think it was concrete that Fallon had taken the job at that point when Emma walked in. And I thought, you know, Natasha was just going to snap a pool cue in half and go, right, you two, go for it.
Yeah, and I thought Emma would start shouting, but I'm cheaper. Take me.
Did anything get actually signed? Because Fallon still was negotiating bonuses. Natasha says she has to take that back to the family and discuss it. And, you know, George got hired at Barrow because he's cheap.
Yeah.
By Martin Gibson. Who's to say that Natasha won't start doing her sums with Tom and they'll be like, hang on, we can employ Emma for a lot less, with much less expectations. And they'll be like, sorry, Fallon, the ink's not on the page yet, and going to go Grundy on this one.
Because especially because Fallon is talking about those bonuses, and Natasha really didn't like it that even though they'd just drawn up this contract without any consultation with Fallon, so it's like, here it is, it's all fairly standard, you know, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. You know, you can have sick pay, blah, blah, blah. She just wanted her to sign it without properly considering it. And actually Fallon was like, well, no, I have a bonus structure that I'd like to go over with you. She's not going to just take this easily. And I don't even actually know whether Fallon will take it at all. She's got some thinking to do still.
I've got a bonus structure I'd like to go over with Fallon.
Oh, yeah. You've got to put your jingle in if you can. Someone tweeted that they were missing that jingle. She said, you talked about Fallon and you didn't put the jingle in.
Uh-oh. Fallon.
Kerry.
Yeah.
Do we have any new reviews?
We do. We have 5 new reviews, Matthew.
5?
Can you ruddy bloody believe
it? I can, because the last time I looked, I think we were still on the one review from last week.
No, we've now got 5. Now, I mean, okay, I'll whiz through, because this is quite... blowing our own trumpet a little bit, isn't it? But never mind. Anyway, okay. The Old Grey Bird wrote, great pod, I listen in bed and sometimes nod off.
Oh. Thanks.
Cheers. I rewind and catch up the next night.
Okay, good save.
That's more positive. I've listened to The Archers for over 50 years.
Ooh.
And dislike most of the characters.
Welcome.
Thank you, The Old Grey Bird, for that.
Oh, thanks.
Silky Sean wrote, stop faffing about listening to the ever-growing list of Archer's pods. Don't listen to the rest, listen to the best. You'll love the Pat Chat, you'll love the Warbis Warble. Ooh. Prepare to be, that's just how the way my trousers hang.
Not the Warbis Whistle.
Prepare to be astounded by Jingle Tingle and dream of trips to Swindon, home of Hitler nappies. Go on, you know you want to. And then in brackets they've put, how's that, Matthew and Peter? As if you've sort of press-ganged them into writing.
Yeah, maybe we did. I don't know. You know, when you have your own works repeated back to you, you start thinking,
Can't even leave a review, 666 is the name of the next person. They've put, love this pod. This is essential listening, not only when there's been a trying week in Ambridge, but also when it's a good week, particularly if you dislike Helen, New Tom, Clary Love, Evil George, and not forgetting Horrid Henwy. Have left out Evil Rob, as apparently he's at death's door anyway. This pod makes sense of the goings-on in Ambridge and is super funny to boot. I'm off now to try the Grey Gables stuff from your advert. Just listen to this pod, you will not regret it. Then we've got Slasher's Mum, and Slasher's Mum has 4 stars. So, don't know, I'm going to turn into bloody Emma here and go, why isn't it 5? Come on, give us some feedback. And they've put, I enjoy this podcast for its irreverent humour and depth of knowledge. These guys really do know their stuff. Ooh.
Really? Did you hear the bit where Kerry said, please don't ask me about anything that's happened in the past?
I don't know. They really do know their stuff and present in a style that's effortlessly entertaining. Do give it a try if you're an Archers fan, especially if you have a thing for Fallon.
Mm. Mm.
And then, don't worry, the last one is only three words. Flora Honey, title something special for the week, and they have put, thanks, TCS team.
Oh, nice. Slasher's mum wrote us a review before, and it was a 5-star one, so she's downgraded us.
Oh, Slasher's mum, tell us what we're doing wrong. What do we need to improve? Is it the wallpaper that isn't making you hungry? Is it something like that?
If people want to leave reviews, Kerry, it's all in our pod description, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, look at the podcast notes and you'll find out. You can leave an Apple review even if you're on an Android phone as well, by the way.
Yeah, I think we had you had a little video showing how to do that, didn't you?
Oh, no, not a video, screenshots.
Okay, because I added you in a tweet earlier in the week saying, or on Instagram saying, Warbis knows how to do it.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay, shitting myself. No, I've got some screenshots that are helpful.
Okay.
I'll happily share with anyone because Apple reviews are the bee's knees. So if you can do those, it will help us enormously.
They are. They're great. On our socials, we've got the Instagram, which I just mentioned, which is at the Cider Shed Pod. Twitter's the same, isn't it, Kerry?
Yes, it is, Matthew. It's at the Cider Shed Pod. It's all kicking off on Twitter. Go and have a look at the tweet alongs, hashtag the Archers.
And if you want to email us, you can email us at hello@thecidershed.com. A couple of emails we got this week. What are the odds on this, Kerry? We've got an email from two Davids and both of their surnames begin with H. What?
Is it David Harcher?
No. Yeah, a really bad attempt to hide his identity.
Yes. What do they say?
One's quite serious and the other one's, you know, a little more lighthearted, but I think they're both brilliant. And the first one's from David Hall. And I did actually message him back and say, like, do you mind if I read this? Because I think, it's good for anyone who might be listening that might be going through it as well. Hello, Kerry, Matthew, and not forgetting Peter. I have listened to The Archers for many years and caught onto the pod early from episode 3. After you left that other lot who were full of their own self-importance. I absolutely love checking in with you guys every week. It's wonderful, like catching up with friends in the pub. I think we've accidentally curated that, haven't we? That feeling.
Yes. Do love a pub, but anyway, yeah.
I love your view of things and your moral, political and social values seem to chime with me very closely. There are even spells in the last couple of years where I've had a couple of months off The Archers, but have continued to listen to The Cider Shed. Try it, everyone. Anyway, the reason for me contacting you via this old email method is a relatively sensible one. It's Helen. In brackets, please bear with me and don't stop reading. Like you, I really dislike the woman and the rest of her family, but the developing storyline regarding her eating disorder is very close to my heart, and I feel that it has been handled very well so far. I'm a 37-year-old male who has suffered from anorexia for around 6 or 7 years. I have a decent job, a flat, friends, family around me, but this awful illness has engulfed me and it doesn't discriminate. As you both pondered, anorexia is normally all about control. When things were going to pot in my life, food was the thing I latched onto as something I could control. It is a divisive, sneaky illness and wants to punish you. Coupled with overexercise, restriction does offer a short-term euphoria, a high, if you will, as you push your body to the limit. Well, we talked about this with Helen, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were saying, he is confirming everything we were saying. It is something you never fully leave behind in a similar way to there being no such thing as an ex-alcoholic. Anorexia can rear its ugly head again when times get tough. So it's very realistic to be returning to Helen's life when she is struggling so badly. He said there's huge waiting lists with GPs for people who have eating disorders, and there is stigma still attached to it. I've recently been discharged after 5 months on a specialist inpatient ward, and you said he was very lucky. He had intensive attendance every day. Support 4 days a week to get me back into the community to work to life. Anything which raises awareness of eating disorders and anorexia is a fantastic thing. It's a hard listen, but so important. So he says, finally, so I thank the Archers for the storyline and you guys for talking about it on the pod. The Cider Shed has helped me get through some incredibly low and difficult times recently. And I'm extremely grateful to all of you for keeping me going with your humour, silliness, and sometimes sheer debauchery. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, my goodness. What a bloody amazing message to receive. And well done for dealing with it and for opening up about that. That, you know, that kind of input is very enlightening as well.
Yeah.
Because I don't know enough about it. And ignorantly, presume most of the time that it's an illness that's linked with women as well. So to hear that a man is struggling with that as well, it just goes to show you just don't know, mm-hmm. do you, what people are having to deal with. And I like that you've found the handling of it in the Archers to be useful and positive.
Yeah, because, I mean, we did have that I think it was, was it Peter actually when you were off, or was it you that said it to me, is like, why are they doing it again? And
no, it was me. Yeah.
They're doing it again because it probably does happen, you know, it doesn't go away.
I'm wondering about the control side of it. And then you were talking about, you know, the euphoria that you felt when you went through that period in your life where you were like looking at your diet and doing the exercise and stuff. And then it does have there's a sort of actual chemical buzz and rush too. Taking that sort of control about what you're doing to your body.
I should say, in the interest of balance, Dave finishes, I hope the storyline continues to be handled sensitively and realistically. Despite this, I still dislike Helen, her mother, her brother, and where you get the picture. And then finally he says, PS, come on Weetabix United, I'm trying to help Peter by not changing my team since week one and being filled with injured players.
Okay, yeah. I need to look at where you are in the league, the fantasy league.
He sent me a link later on for Beat, which is a great charity that provides support for people with eating disorders, and we'll put that in the pod description.
Yeah, good. Okay,
amazing. Brilliant. Email, thanks David.
Yeah, thank you so much, honestly. Keep us posted.
So from David Hall to Dave Howard. Now, do you remember Vincent messaged on Instagram last week to say that I should check out this interview with the guy from Animal Collective who lives in Porto?
Yes.
Panda Bear, yeah, he did the album with Sonic Boom, didn't he? And Sonic Boom was one half of Spaceman 3. Because I always just think of it as being Sonic Boom and then Jason Pierce, who went off to form Spiritualized. And he wrote in to say, welcome back is the title of the email. It seems a little strange welcoming you back when I've only recently discovered you, but I'm doing it anyway. Made doing a little housework infinitely more bearable. Thank you. It seems a little presumptuous to write so early on in our relationship with two requests, but I have them nevertheless. Here goes. I'm certain I can't be alone with the first. Please, please, can you jump onto Threads with an account? Like so many who once enjoyed the Archer's tweet along, I have left the X hole. It would be lovely to see you there despite the absence of hashtags. Well, that's the one that's done through Meta, isn't it? Through Instagram. That would be my manner. So,
yes.
All right. I'll have a look into that.
Okay. Yeah, good suggestion.
Do you want to hear the second one, Kerry? It's relates to you.
Okay.
More importantly, relates to you last week.
Oh, God. I don't know if I do then.
Can we pause Kerry's recovery from the world of croak right here? This morning, I was in ASMR heaven, only experienced previously in the oral company of Hannah Gordon.
Oh, that is exalted company.
I realise that only one of these requests is humane, so I know I may have to be satisfied without the other. In anticipation of a positive response to that, though, I can offer a couple of nuggets, one of no real value and one of very little more. One, you mentioned Sonic Boom as one half of Spaceman 3, who are actually a four-piece. I know, hands up, I know they were a four-piece. Multiple members in their time, okay. But yeah. He then goes on to say, I recorded their now apparently renowned Northampton demos at my little studio just outside Northampton in 1986. Studio Morocco, named after the chap who owned the building. They've been repeatedly bootlegged. This, I should say, has nothing to do with my engineering skills at the time. That is so fucking cool.
Yes. Wow.
That is amazing.
Bloody hell. Yes.
I did message Vincent and was like, wait till you hear this email.
God, this is fantastic.
And there's another one that ties in here. So Sonic Boom, who was Peter Kemper in Spaceman 3. Mm. For those of us with any interest in audio production, it's worth noting that Pete went on to work with Delia Derbyshire before she died, who did the Doctor Who theme tune that we talked about as well.
You've spoken about her before, haven't you? Yeah.
Yeah, and Peter did, And then he said, secondly, of possibly a little more value, I've stepped tentatively into your Patreon. I'm sorry it can't be at a higher level. The adverts are worth it on their own. Thank you for the weekly delight that is the Cider Shed. Best wishes, Dave Howard. And seems to have a little company there called Paddywhack Arts. If you want to give us we can give you a shout out, Dave, if you give us more information about that. We're happy to share your details. How cool is that, though?
That is amazingly cool. Obviously, the best bit of that was that he thinks I sound in any way in the realm of Hannah Gordon.
Dave mentioned there he'd become a patron, Kerry.
Yes. He's amongst a fine batch of company there, isn't he, this week?
I'll be honest. I normally try to get to all the patrons that join, but it went a little nuts in the last 24 hours. So I'd already made that we had five patrons. So I made jingles and set to go, and then a million other people joined.
Yes.
Now, we suspect they may have joined because they wanted a little bit of gossip that was going to occur on our midweek Patreon special. That's fine if they did that. That's cool. We'd like you to hang around if you did that, because we put out other things in the middle of the week and we're going to try and do some other tidbits for you as well. And of course, you get the podcast early, and with no normal ads, you'll still get my silly ads in there. But anyway, so what I'm going to do first is I'm going to play the jingles of the ones that I'd already done. Okay. So first up, Vivian O'Connor.
Hey there, Vivian. Isn't this, like, your second jingle?
It bloody is, you know.
Oh, well, she deserves it. Thanks for becoming a Cider Shed patron, Vivian.
Legend.
Yeah, because Vivian got one when she did the email challenge, didn't she? It was her, the kind of talking very low register over careless whisper.
Yeah, so, she is such an ardent supporter of the Cider Shed, isn't she?
Yeah. She's been writing great reviews on one of the other podcatchers for a long time, hasn't she?
Yeah. So thank you so much, Vivian, for becoming a patron. Totally love you.
So talking of Dave becoming a patron and also unbelievably producing Spaceman 3's demos, this is for him.
Just five seconds of decision to realize that the time is right to start thinking about a little Cider Shed Patreon membership. Thanks, David Howard.
I liked that one.
Bit too psychedelic, maybe?
No.
Okay, Courtney, you're next.
And now we go over to Courtney, a smart cookie. Thanks for becoming a Cider Shed patron, Courtney. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Courtney.
The voice.
Emma Wiz.
That's a good name. Ooh.
Okay, who have we here? Oh, it's Emma Wiz.
Not her real name, I presume?
New listener and already a Cider Shed patron.
Gotta respect that.
Damn straight.
Thanks, Emma.
Thanks, Emma.
Nice, smooth, liked that Glockenspiel, or whatever it was.
Last of the early week batch, we have Nolan.
Hey, Nolan. We just wanted to say a big thank you for becoming a Cider Shed patron. We really, really appreciate it.
Apologies, Nolan. That last AI person sounded a little patronizing.
What? I did not!
Anyway, thanks, Nolan.
I already thanked Nolan.
Oh, shut the f*** up!
Thanks, Nolan.
That's a good name too, isn't it? Yeah.
Then the floodgates opened.
Yes.
And I was like, Kerry, what can I do? There's a lot of patrons and I don't have time to do it. And Kerry said, look, here's what you do. You just set it to We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. And that's what I've done. If anyone, and obviously remain a patron and this will happen for you, if anyone in this list feels aggrieved that they didn't get a personal jingle, just message me on Patreon and I will sort you out in due course. Okay. Now so we had some suspicion that people may have joined just for the gossip, and this is our way of saying, like, we hope you hang around. Okay.
Oh my days, have you seen all the patrons?
I have. How on earth will Matthew make all of these jingles in so short a time?
What if he put them into one majestic banging thank you song?
Fucking nailed it.
Mark Holman.
Lucy Saint.
Laura Smith.
Eva Voss.
Vicky Kras.
Tina Smith.
Peter Dyer.
Audrey Ann.
Jillian Corrigan.
Joanna Tubbs.
Sue Schoen.
Tina West.
Matt Hill.
Kate Lyle.
Jamie Hodge.
Nullick Griffin.
You came for the gossip.
But we hope you stay for many days.
Susan Lowe.
Rick Turner.
Mike Gunn.
Jenny Williams.
Jillian Law.
Richard Walker.
Christine Cox.
Alistair Lawrence.
Jonathan Harley.
Philippa Hall. Susie Q, we love you. And that goes for all of you.
You came for the gossip, but we hope you stay for many days. You came for the gossip, but we hope you stay for many days.
Thank you to each and every one of you for your kind support. The Cider Shed is in your service.
I love the song. Boop, 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 beep, boop, beep, boop, with the music in the background. That is a lot of Patreon support all of a sudden, isn't it? I mean,
I'm bowled over.
Yeah, I really, really, really hope that at least some of them do stay and listen to our future episodes.
Did you notice a new patron in there called Philippa Hall?
I did, yes.
We live in changing times, don't we? Now,
we welcome all Patreon supporters.
Now, I am aware that because all of that was done on Thursday, that we've had some new patrons pop up since. So I'm going to give you a little shout out now. Jingle-tastic stuff will happen next week. Robin Rex, Idiot Wynn, Jan Sparrow, Beck McFarlane and Andrew Richards. Thanks so much. In fact, thanks to all patrons. Like, massive, massive help. We can't thank you enough. Like, it really helps support the podcast. Yeah. And
thanks all.
Okay, Kerry. Starting on a Thursday and going out on a Friday. How does that sound?
Lovely. Can I just mention that my son is top of the Fantasy Football League?
we'll bring that back next week. It was just a packed old week, you know?
I know.
All right, everyone. See ya.
Bye. See you next week.
Take care, everyone. See you later. Oh, hang on. I just did a massive burp.